I want us tonight to, I know our time is already well spent, but there are still a few things we can do tonight, very briefly, and I know at the end of the day it will have been worth it, and I believe God's name will have been glorified. Let's open our Bibles to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. I want to try and look at where the theme of this program is taken from, and then do a little bit of addressing and a little bit of explanation as to the theme of the program, and then I know I will have done what I believe the Lord has laid in my heart to do. So I'm reading from Matthew 6. It's a whole prayer that Jesus taught the apostles with an intention to give them a guideline as to how they ought to pray. Matthew 6, and I'm reading from verse 9, and it says, "After this manner therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven," all those words are chosen, "hallowed be thy name." I remember very early in the 80s, I was looking at my messages today. I preached about 12 messages from that prayer. "Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is." That is where the theme is taken from. "As it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forevermore." Amen. By the grace of God tonight, I'll be speaking on the subject, "As it is in heaven, part one." Then on Sunday, we'll be dealing with "As it is in heaven, part two." So let us pray. Precious Father, we want to thank you for your loving kindness and for your tender mercies. We want to appreciate you, God, for every and all things that have been done since this program started on Monday, or last Sunday rather. I want to give glory to the various ministry gifts that you have anointed, who have shared tremendously from the wealth of their experience and from the wealth of their knowledge of the word. Father, as we come to this service, I ask you for utterance in the Holy Ghost. I ask that you anoint me to speak as an oracle, not an orator, and help me to minister according to the ability that you give, so that you, Father, in all things may be glorified and honored. Thank you, Father, for ears under the sound of my voice and those who come in contact with this message. I pray that their ears will be listening, their minds will be open, and their spirits will be receptive. And at the end of the day, they will inculcate the truth of this word in their lives and be doers, and not hearers only. Take the glory, Father. Take the praise. Take the honor for every and all things that will be done here amongst us. And we thank you, Father, for everything and all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As it is in heaven. Now, the big question I want to ask is, what is it that is in heaven? You see, because if you want something in heaven to be on the earth, the first question you need to answer is, what is it in heaven? And that is what I want to deal with. What is it that is in heaven? In my many years of being a Christian and of ministering all over the places and of counseling and of dealing with various people, there is something that I've come to discover is very difficult to be able to get people interested in. And that is the most important thing in heaven. That is the most important thing in heaven. And that is what that scripture is talking about. And so the big question now is, what is that thing that is in heaven that God wants to be established here on earth? What is that thing? Very, very simply, that thing is called the will of God. The will of God. When Jesus Christ came, what did he come to do? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 7 and 9 says, "Lo, I come, as it is written of me in the volume of the books, to do your will." So he came to establish the will of God here on earth that was already the will of God in heaven. And that is what the prayer says. It says, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So what is it that is in heaven? The will of God is something that is already done in heaven. And God does not just want his will to be done in heaven. He is the God of heaven and earth. He wants his will also to be done here on earth. 1 John 2:17 says, "He that doeth the will of the Lord shall abide forever." The will of God is very supreme. Above everything that is in this world that God wants to be done, he wants his will be done. And he told the apostles, this is how you ought to pray. "Thy will, O Lord, be done on earth as it is in heaven." We know in heaven, the will of God is what is done. Everywhere and in all aspects. Now, as a child of God, I want you to know a few things that are very crucial about the will of God. I will give you six of them, and I want you to have this at the back of your mind wherever you go. Number one, there is a will of God about what he wants us to do and what he wants us to have. There are many things you want to have. There are many things you want to do. But among the very many things you want to have and the many things you want to do, there is the will of God there, and there is probably what you want to do and what you want to have that may not necessarily translate to the will of God. So there's the will of God as to what he wants you to do and what you want to have. Number two, there is also the will of God as to where he wants you to go or as to what he wants you to be. There's a will of God as to where God wants you to go and where you want to be. In 1982, I won a scholarship. University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia, to come and do my master's degree and PhD. But I went to the Lord because I was aware that there is a will of God as to where God wants me to be. Where does God want me to be? There's a will of God about that. You see, you can be in any place as far as you are concerned, but there is a proper, the right place to be. There was a time in Genesis 26 that Isaac wanted to relocate to Gerar. But when he was about to leave, God appeared to him in verse 3 and 4 and said, "Stay where you are." So there's the will of God as to where he wants us to be. Not just what he wants us to do or what he wants us to have. Number three, there is also a will of God as to when he wants us to do something or when he wants us to go somewhere or when he wants us to live in a particular place. I received the call of God on December 19, 1981. I had a voice say to me in the English language, "I have called thee, I have chosen thee, I have ordained and anointed thee to take my word to the nations, emphasizing its integrity." Now, evidently, I was then a lecturer in Illinois. And I've been planning that, okay, I was going to relocate to the U.S. That's 1982 in those days. You didn't need any of those stringent rules to be able to get a visa or even relocate. You know, and by the way, I had a scholarship. But I wanted to leave, and God says, "No." I said, "What?" He said, "I want you to stay in Illinois." Now, there's a will of God as to where God wants you to be, where God wants you to be, and when God wants you to do something. To everything, there's a time. And he sees it to every purpose under the heavens. Psalm 102 verse 13 says, "Thou shalt arise and have favor upon Zion, for the time to favor her has come." Isaiah 55 verse 6 says, "Seek ye the Lord when he can be found, call upon him when he's near." Psalm 32 verse 6 says, "Thus shall every godly man pray unto God in a time when it can be heard." So when you are dealing with God, you need to understand there's something called his will. As to what he wants you to do, as to where he wants you to be, and as to when he wants you to do something. When God wants you to do something. I mean, Jesus Christ, for 30 years, was a carpenter in a carpenter shop What was he waiting for? The appropriate time. Isaiah 49:8 says, there's an appointed time. So there's an appointed time. I mean, I remember after I received the call of God, I thought that I was just going to go to the ministry immediately. But God says, no, it's not yet time. And when the time came for Jesus Christ, in Mark 1:15, Matthew 4:17, he says, the time is fulfilled. He told his mother, my time has not yet come. So there is something called the will of God as to when he wants you to do something, when he wants you to go somewhere, and when he wants you to carry out an assignment on his behalf. Number four, there is also a will of God as to how he wants things to be done. How does God want me to do my ministry? Many people over the years have tried to tell me to do something. And I said, that's not how God told me to do it. God says, take my word to the nations. Emphasizing his statements. I remember in those early days of ministry when I had some young men around me, they would always encourage me, let's start crusade. Let's have a university. Now, I could have, I might have, but that was not how God said I should do it. He says, take my word to the nations. So, in the last 42 years, I preached the gospel across Nigeria, and I preached the gospel in 126 countries and territories all over the world, on all the 6 continents of the world. How did I do that? By going there, physically. South America, North America, Europe, Asia, Island of the Sea, Africa, and so on. And it's been a wonderful thing, because I say, how? Some people receive the call of God, but they don't know how to go about it. Oh, God has called me to start a church. How do I go about it? And they come to me to ask me, and I say, no, I'm not the one who called you. The person who tells you to do something will tell you how to go about it. He will tell you when to do it, where to do it. Because you see, people do things that are made ready to their hands without ever bothering as to the fact that there's something called the will of God. And then let me give you this one again. I mean, there is something called the will of God as to who he wants you to be with. Who he wants you to be with. There's a will of God as to who God wants you to be. Originally, I wanted to be a professor. You know, I was so intelligent when I was in the University of Ibadan in the 70s. I was on so many scholarships, national scholarship, state scholarship, university scholar. In those days, when you are a university scholar, it means you are one of the best 3 students in your class. I was in a class of 120 people, and I was very outstanding, very good. I mean, when it comes to knowing book, and that was my intention, just to be a professor. But you see, when I came to Christ, and I gave my heart to Christ, and started discovering God, I discovered, when you are dealing with God, there is a who he wants you to be. I mean, the fact that you want to be somebody does not mean God. I mean, I always tell people this. The greatest sacrifice that I have given in the Christian faith is that I have sacrificed who I want to be for who God wants me to be. Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you, I knew you. Before I brought you forth, he said, I designed you, I ordained you to be this, to be that. I would have wanted just to be in a university as an egghead, dishing out theories, you know, teaching students, and so on and so forth. That's who I would have wanted to be. But when you work with God, you must know this, that like Jesus said, lo, I come, as it's written of me in the volume of the books, to do your will. And then lastly, number 6, still on this thing, the introduction, there is a why he wants things to be done, and why he wanted to have things. I've given this testimony over and over. When I was going to turn 60, you know, motivational speakers tell us that when you have done a lot of things and you've done well, you can celebrate yourself. Is that also? So I felt when I was 60, you know, I bought some different kind of cars before. I wanted to buy a Rolls Royce. A Rolls Royce Camagi. I'd gone to price it. I had the money, and so I wanted to buy a Rolls Royce. And I went there, I priced it, they told me the price. I was ready to begin to transfer the money to them. I came back to the hotel. I said, let me sleep over it, let me pray. I prayed before, but I felt motivational speakers are poisoning my mind by then. You know, motivational speakers will tell you how you can be anything you want to be. You can, you know, that's what they tell us. And they tell you when you achieve a thing, celebrate yourself. Check yourself out, okay? And I had quite a number of them around me, so I decided to celebrate myself. You know, I decided to look good and smell good and all that stuff. So I tried that, because when I was 50, you know, I bought some custom-made cars that I drive and all that. You know, but now growing older, you need to grow wiser. So I came back to the hotel that day, I will never forget, and I felt very uncomfortable. And I said, Lord, what is it? He said, you want to ride Rolls Royce? I said, yes. Then he asked me a question. He said, on the street of Ilorin? Now, you see, for many people, they do not know there is a will of God as to why you should do things. God said, why do you want to ride the Rolls Royce? And I said, well, shouldn't I? Are there not people riding it? I mean, shouldn't I? I mean, those who are riding it, are they better than me? I just felt, you see, what I'm saying to you is this. The greatest thing you and I can do on earth is what is done in heaven. That's the greatest achievement. He said, thy will be done on earth. If you look around us, not many things are the will of God. You see what is going on in the nations? Even at times you see what is going on in the church. You see what people are doing in the church. You see what people are doing with the call of God, the gifts of God. And you look back and say, do these people know what is it about the will of God? And when we are studying this subject, as it is done in heaven, we must realize that there is something that is done in heaven. That God wants to touch the earth. That thing is already established in heaven. It is commonplace in heaven. What is it? And that thing is called the will of God. So I told you in the beginning, I said, the main problem I had with many people is that many people, as it were, are not interested in the will of God. They don't think about it. They just want to go where they want to go. They want to do what they want to do. They want to have what they want to have. They want to be with who they want to be with, without actually confirming whether it is the will of God. Whether it is the will of God. I was going to come to the U.S., and when God said I couldn't come, I told people, I said, God said, I should not go. I'm going to say, how can God tell you not to go? And I always tell people this. If you look at Abraham, God told him, leave your country. I will show you a place. He left. It was in the will of God. Isaac wanted to leave. God said, stay where you are. It was in the will of God, and God blessed him. Jacob, who left, Genesis 31:13, God said, go back. So you can see that God is talking to three different people who are the patriarchs of our faith, and he gave them various things that they needed to do, which are his will. As it is his will for everyone, is for you to understand that Abraham came out under the will of God, and he prospered. Isaac stayed where he was, and he prospered. Jacob went back, and he prospered. Three different people, God dealing with them different ways, because the will of God for one person may not necessarily translate to the will of God for somebody else. That is what we call the general will of God, yes? But that's what we call the personal and specific will of God that have to do with each and every one of us in various areas of our lives. But whatever God wants us to do, which is his will, does not ridicule us. Whatever God wants us to do, which is his will, or wherever God wants us to be, which is his will. I was telling someone, I said, the house where I live in Ilorin, I mean, it's like any other house in the U.S. I have an Olympic swimming pool at the back of my house. I have chefs who are dressed, who can cook for me 2 a.m. I have my house, one of them is in suit. If I dive into my swimming pool from my penthouse floor, now, for you to understand that, you know, the will of God, when it's established on earth, it prospers you. Whatever God wills you to do does not take the beauty out of life. Whatever God wills you to do, whether stay there, move, or go back, it doesn't in any way confuse what your destiny holds. But one thing I have discovered in my many years of being involved in the gospel of Jesus Christ is that I've had problem with many believers. Many believers have problem with them. Because let me give you six assumptions that many believers have. Number one, many believers assume and think and believe they can just do anything, have anything, go anywhere, live anywhere, once it is their desires. And they will quote scriptures to you that says, well, the Bible says in Proverbs 10:24, the desires of the righteous shall be granted. Psalm 145 verse 16, God opens his hand and fulfills the desires of the living. Psalm 145 verse 19, God opens the hand and fulfills the desires of them that fear them. And that once it is my desire, God says, I can have it. Oh yes, God wants you to know you can have your desires, but if your desires are not in line with his will, it is not something you can have. It is not something you can have. We all have parents. We care for our parents. And we know there are some things they desire, which if we allow them to have, it will hurt them. And so God protects us and preserves us. I remember so many years after, when I wanted to go to America and God said I should not go. Later I asked, I said, why was it? Is it not this America? I've been to over close to 42 states out of 50 states here in the U.S. Canada, I've been to 9 out of 10 provinces. Now, is it not the same America? You didn't want me to go? Why? God said, I protected you because if you had come to America where you wanted to come, you would have forgotten about the ministry. And the reason why I made it is for the ministry I want to give to you to have. And so you would have satisfied whatever your immediate desires were then, but you would have lost out on the most important thing. So God does not allow you to have, do, go, marry anyone you want to marry, just because you desire it. Your desire is still subject to the perfect will of God. Romans 12:2 said, be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will. Good, there's a good will of God. Acceptable, which means well-pleasing, and perfect will. So it depends. If you want the good will of God, you can press into what you want to desire. But if you want the perfect will of God, then you are going to have to insist on doing exactly what God will want you to do and go where God wants to do and marry the person God intends for you to marry. Number two, I've always had this problem with believers. Because many believers assume, think, believe, they can just have, go with, live wherever they want to since they can afford it. I could afford a Rolls Royce. It wasn't going to stress me to buy a Rolls Royce. I already had the money reserved. The money is still where I've kept it. I've not even spent it. I could afford it. But the fact that you can afford something does not mean it's good for you. Psalm 47 verse 6 says, He will choose our inheritance for us. The excellence of Jacob, who we love. God allows you to choose, but he guides you in your choice. He that fear the Lord, shall God teach in what way to choose. Deuteronomy 30:19, he said, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Then he says, choose life. Why did he advise us if he gave us the choice? His wisdom is still higher than our wisdom. Your thinking is better than our way of thinking. So you cannot just do anything. You cannot just live anywhere. You see, people think, I can live anywhere I want to live. You can't. Every tree does not grow in every soil. There are certain soils in which you will not grow. There are certain things you can't get planted in the U.S. that you can only plant in Ivory Coast or Senegal or Gambia. But if you think, well, like I always tell church people, you can't blossom in every church. The soil of every church is not the same. Some people probably prosper in Victory Church. Some other people prosper in King's Ward. Some other people prosper in Winners Chapel. Because the soil of those ministries are conditioned for the kind of tree you are. You are supposed to be the planting of the Lord. And the Lord knows the kind of ground in which he wants you planted. Just being a Christian does not mean you are going to flourish. Listen to this. In Psalm 92 verse 12, he said, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Verse 13, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish. You see, there is a flourishing in verse 12. There is a flourishing in verse 13. The flourishing described in verse 12 is not as high as the word flourish that you find in verse 13. And that 13 flourishing is the product of being planted in the right soil. So you need the right soil to be planted. That's why you see some people when they leave a church and they go and plant themselves in another church, they shrivel. Their Christian life dies. Their warmth and attractiveness, the anointing goes off. I've had so many friends who left me in Lorraine and relocated in other places. For some of them, they died. For some of them, they did not die, but they lost the anointing. And I've had some who left Lorraine and relocated in other places and they prospered. So what I'm trying to let you understand is this. You cannot just do something because you have ability, you can afford it. You can't buy a car. You are no longer your own. You are bought with a price. And you are someone else's. You belong to someone else's. You are Christ, and Christ is God. And because you and I belong to him, there is a limit to what you can do by yourself without consulting him. Number three, I have had problems with believers because many believers assume, believe and think they can just do, they can just have, they can just go with, they can just live wherever they want to because others that they know have done it. Others have done it. That sister married an unbeliever. Others did it. They relocated to America. Others did it. Now, others are not your perfect example. Jesus is. Jesus' steps were ordered. You are not supposed to be, your step to be ordered by others, but by the order of God. Psalm 37 verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by God, and he delights in your ways. God is the one who orders our steps and orders our stop. And so if you think you can do it because others are doing it, you will discover that the scripture tells you you shouldn't do what others do. I was reading the scripture some years ago in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 7, he said, they that sleep in the night. And then in verse 6, he said, let us not all sleep like others do. But you know that's what you do? You sleep because people are sleeping. I don't sleep because others are sleeping. I've never slept because others are sleeping. The Bible says in Exodus 23, verse 2, he said, I shall not follow a multitude to do evil. I've never done what others do. My ministry pattern, I've never been at that somebody else's ministry pattern. I've been exposed to all the best ministries. I was raised under Benson in Lahosa. Traveled with him across Africa and some parts of Europe. And he ordained me December 2nd, 1986. Went to the ministry, Gospel Faith Mission. He ordained me there. And you can see that a little bit of what he has is in me. But since then, I've also grown on my own. I've also been able to charge my own course in life and ministry. So do not do things and think you can do it for the reason for which others do it. God asked me long ago, he said, why do you want to get married? I said, am I not old enough? He said, that is not a determining factor. Some other people say, I want to get married. My junior sister married. My senior sister married. They may be your junior, they may be your senior, but the clocks of our life are not one the same. Our lives are not the same. Because we have met does not mean we are competing. Those who are complete in Christ does not compete in Christ. And that is one thing we need to understand. We have come to a point now that when it comes to things, don't do it because others are doing it. So some Christians believe I can do, I can have, I can go everywhere because others are. Others are jackpying. You may have to jackpada. Jacob jackpada. Jacob jackpada. I've been coming to the U.S. since 1990. I remember the first time I came to the U.S., I had a bishop friend of mine who is still there. He has a church in Philadelphia. He took me to his lawyer. I said, look, man, what kind of ministry you got? Come here, man. They printed out the form. All I needed to do was just to sign. I refused to sign. The bishop looked at me and said, why are you not signing? He said, with the kind of ministry you have, if you come to the U.S., this will happen, that will happen. I said, with the kind of ministry I have, I cannot just be in every place. There is no place. I have to be the place that connects to heaven. I cannot allow the heaven over my head to be closed and the ground under my feet to be hard. I'm not going to do that. He looked at me, he laughed, he shook his head. When he came to Nigeria and saw our church under some kind of, we just had pillars in those days and a roof. He said, is this where you are? I said, yes. He looked at me and said, George, man, you need prayer. He couldn't understand why. I'm thinking of my reward. I'm thinking of the end of all things. Psalm 37, verse 37, mark the upright man, the end of that man shall be peace. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. The day of death is better than the day of the birth. I want at the end of the day to hear those words, welcome thou wise and faithful servant. But many believers believe you can do anything, you can think, you can do anything, you can go anywhere, you can be with anybody. I mean, I have been with some Christian ministers before, and God said, I don't want you in their company. I don't want you to corrupt your manners. Because with some people, you corrupt your manners. With some people, you get sharpened. Iron sharpeneth iron. A man sharpened the countenance of the stone. But it's not every person that you can get your countenance sharpened. Evil communication corrupt good manners. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. Evil communication. Psalm 1, verse 1 says, walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. Stand not in the ways of sinners. Sit not in the seat of scornful. But let your delight be in the law of the Lord. And the law of the Lord meditate day and night. You shall be. You want to be. If you want to be, then you know the seat of the scornful. You should know who you associate with. Because birds of like feathers flock together. And birds who flock together, even if they don't have like feathers, will soon develop it. Number 4, many believers assume and believe and think they can do anything, they can have anything, they can go with anybody, they can live where they are, because according to them, many people are doing so. So that's what everybody is doing. I always tell people this. Many people may be doing it. Some people may be doing it, but not everybody is doing it. There are still 7,000 prophets whose knees have not bowed to Baal. Everybody is doing it. You should not follow a multitude. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 12, for as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness at all. He shall have the light of life. Psalm 36, verse 9, for with thee, O Lord, is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. John 1, 4, in him was light, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. John 1, 9, he is the true light that lighteth everyone that come to this world. You can't do what multitudes do because you are not multitude. In this generation, you need to learn how to stand like a prophet of God on your own and let your light shine. He did not say, your light does not shine because you are in the company of others. Let your light so shine before men. Matthew 5:16, that they will see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You don't have to be in the company of other people to be approved. Other people don't have to approve what you do by the fact that majority, God is not a Democrat that wins by majority votes. In fact, with God, one person with God is a majority. Romans chapter 8, verse 31, he said, the Lord is on my side. In Romans 8:31, he says, if God be for us, what does it matter who may be against us? Actually, the Greek says, what does it matter who may be against us? The number of people that come against you doesn't matter. The number of people who are for you does not matter. The most important thing is Jehovah for you. But Christians believe that everybody is doing it. Not everybody is doing it. I remember one man came to my house one day. Then I have a 12, his face 12. One man came to my house one day. He said, I'm a minister like you. I said, no, keep quiet. You're a minister, but not like me. Have you read the Bible over 380 times? He said, no. He said, you're not a minister like me. You're not a minister like me. Do you fast 4 times a week? And you pray on Saturday for 6 hours? He said, no. I said, so when you come to introduce yourself, just tell us who you are. don't tell us that you are like me. You can't be like me now. I stayed in ignorance since 1973. Till God released me when I turned 60. God said, now you can go and live anywhere you want to. I mean, I would have lived anywhere I wanted to in the world. As far back as 1989. I would have lived anywhere. I had a house bought in the UK as far back as 1995. You know, and then I bought a house in Spain in 1992. Now, what I'm saying is this. The will of God is supreme. That is what is lacking in this world. That is what is lacking in our lives. There is a what, there is a when, there is a who, there is a where, there is a how, and there is a why when it comes to dealing with God. Some people believe, they say many people are doing it. I always tell them, well, some people may be doing it. God's thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. Number five, I've told you this an area I had a problem with. When we sit down and discuss with some Christians, they give you the impression that, look, I can do anything. I'm free. I'm the Lord's free man. And I say, anyone who has freedom and does not have control will lead to anarchy. In this society, they say it's a free world. But you know that if you say what you are not supposed to say, drive where you are not supposed to drive, you see yourself in jail. As free as it is, I can tell you, you get into trouble. Like in those days in India, I mean Uganda. He said, you are free to say what you want to say, but as to whether you are free after you have said it, I cannot guarantee that. Oh, yeah. So many people assume and think, well, I can do anything, I can go anywhere, I can be with one other person, because everybody, many people are doing it. Some people may be doing it. Many people may be doing it, but not everybody is doing it. And you would rather be an exception to the rule. Psalm 45, verse 6 and 7 says, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of the kingdom is the right scepter, thy love and righteousness, and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, thy God, have anointed thee with the oil of gladness above your fellows. Many of the ministers that we started out in the lorry for so many years never understood why I had to stay back. Why I had to be where I was. Why I had to persevere the things I persevered with. I remember one of them came one day and saw the people who were in my fellowship that day. And they laughed. They laughed at me because, you see, most of those people that were there, like members of David's army, people had nothing to lose. They had failed exams so many times that there was nothing to lose again. But you see, God said, stay there and help them. And there is no country I've got in the world where whenever I get there, I will not meet people that God used to influence in Ilorin. We eventually called Ilorin the kitchen. God told me to stay back there, and I stayed. I persevered. And God blessed me even there. In a land that looked difficult and impossible, I was able to do so much. When we were going to build our sanctuary in the 90s, the 7,000-seater sanctuary in the 90s, they gave us a bill of quantity, $320 million. The building committee, I had to disperse them. Because the chair asked me, where is money coming from? I said, money is going to come from the person who ordered it to be built. You know, people never thought it was going to be a reality. But I always tell God, it's not my house, it's your house. And if you give me the instruction that you pay the bills, and he has never failed me, he has never abandoned me, he has never forsaken me, he has always proved it. And that's why the will of the Lord is so important. I'm going to tell you the place of the will of God in a few minutes. One more thing here. Many people think, you see, assume, including believers, that you can do anything you want to do, go anywhere you want to go, live whatever way you want to live, once it seems right in your sight. It seems right. It seems right. That was how Adam ate the fruit. It seems right. That was why Samson wanted Delilah. It seems right. That was why Solomon married multiple wives. It seems right. Proverbs 14:12. Proverbs 16:25. There is a way that seems right unto the man. The end of it is death. There have been sisters who wanted to marry. And I said, this person is not the will of God. I said, but it's okay. It seems okay now. I said, Isaiah 55:8-9. God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not your ways. And first, in the book of Proverbs 16:7, He says, when a man's way pleases the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. In 1 Samuel 16:7, the word of God says, the Lord does not see the way man seeth. Man is looking at the outward. God is looking at the inward. I mean, it could seem right in your sight, but is it right in his sight? And he's the one you are going to have to deal with when push comes to shove. Proverbs 16:9, a man's heart devises his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. There is a way that seems right unto a man, but the ends of it are the ways of death. The fact that it seems right, look right, appear right. Look at Sodom. When Abraham and Lot were going to divide, they were going to separate. Abraham told Lot, come on, go ahead. If you go to the left, I go to the right. If you go to the right, I go to the left. And when Lot looked at the place that he saw, it seemed right. But he did not know that Sodom was there. Inasmuch as he was given a choice, he would have said, Daddy Abraham, my father died and you took me on. I don't have a covenant with Yahweh. I would rather go with you than go with my own choice. Let me be with you. Let me stay with you. There's no reason for us to separate, sir. But the Bible said he looked loftily, lost of the eyes, and he perceived it was wonderful. And he chose, not knowing that's where Sodom and Gomorrah is. Failure mechanisms are built into what things you choose by the sight of the eyes. Failure mechanisms are built into what you choose by the way you feel or the way you think. Failure mechanisms are built into the choices you make as man without divine assistance. John 15:5, without me, he says, you can do nothing. You do something, but the something will be nothing. And that is why people become nothing after a while. What did Lot become? Nothing. Nothing. Because he chose according to the sight of the eyes. He made a fleshly choice. I remember one brother came to me and said, that sister is so beautiful. She's figure eight. I said, I said, figure eight can talk to figure one. Oh. I said, this thing is just skin deep. So many years after I saw them, the woman can hardly breathe. She had become figure capital I. I remember one brother in the church in Lagos. He saw a sister. He saw a sister in the church where he was going to. And he saw that the sister was very beautiful, you know. You know, so those sisters in the choir, you know what I'm talking about? When they sing and they, you know. And the brother said, thank you, Lord, for sister. He looked at her and his eyes caught the sister. And then he now went to the pastor and said, Pastor, hi, sister so-and-so, you know, she impresses me. I believe she's my... And the pastor said, no. I don't think she's best for you. No, some people think, well, God will not. You see, the point is this. God was protecting him. So eventually, that sister go married to someone else. Because the pastor says it's not yours. And brother was so angry, Brother John was so angry, he left the church. He left the church. He replanted himself somewhere else. After some years, he relocated to the UK. This is a life story I'm talking about. He relocated to the UK. And so one day he was at the bus stop. You know, and he saw this woman, big woman, gigantic, enormous, and colossal. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together, running over. A formidable force. And she came rolling down the road. And Brother John said, look at this woman. What do they eat? What's wrong that she's like this? And she came panting. Yeah. Then she looked and said, Brother John, said, hey, you know me? He said, yes. He said, where do you know me from? He said, our church in Lagos. But so-and-so, I am Sister Helene. Your Sister Helene. God who see what she was going to look like. Protected this brother from sorrow of heart. did not allow this brother to go ahead with his plan. And so when the boss came, after moving everything inch by inch, through much tribulation, she entered into the boss. She said, "Brother John," called, said, "No, go, just go, just go." And then the boss left. Brother John knelt down like this at the bus stop. Say, "Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you." God knows tomorrow more than today. And he protects us and he preserves us. It could seem good in your eyes, but how far can you see? Isaiah 3:17 says, "Your eyes shall see the king in his beauty. Your eyes shall behold the land afar off." You don't have eagle eyesight. You don't have vision 2020. You can't even see your nose. You can't even see next year. You can't even see next week. But God, who sees everything. 2 Chronicles 16:9, "The eyes of the Lord runneth to and fro to the whole earth to show himself strong on the behalf of those whose hearts are perfect towards him." As it is in heaven. What is it in heaven? The will. In heaven, the will of God is done. I tell you that. But here on earth, except Christians who are encouraged to enforce it, you go to our government, the will of God is not done. You go to our homes, the will of God is not done. You go to our schools, the will of God is not done. You go to our municipalities, the will of God is not done. So, I have had problems with people over the years as to the will of God. Because people want to do what it seems good in their sight. But God does not see the way we see. When the prophet Samuel went to the house of Jesse to anoint the next king, he saw Eliab and Shammah, Abinadab, sons of Jesse. Even the prophet of God made a mistake. He said, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before me." And God said, No, I don't have anything to do with these people you are looking at. For the Lord does not see." That's where that First Samuel 16:7 verse came. "For the Lord does not see the way man seeth. For we look not at the things that are seen, but the things that are not seen." 2 Corinthians 4:18, "For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal." What is it that we need to do here on earth? We need to enforce the will of God. Now let me ask you, in all areas of your life, to what extent is the will of God done? Now the will of God, let me give you a definition. I've been talking about the will of God, the will of God. What is the will of God? The will of God can simply be defined as the wish, the deliberate intention, the desire, the choice of God. That is what the will of God is. The will of God can be defined as the gracious, deliberate design of God for us, knowing who we are. He knows who you are. And he designed his will for you. That is why his will for me is not his will for you. That is why his will for you is not my will. He constructed that special befitting thing because he knows who you are. I'm going to explain that in a few minutes. So as a believer, there are six things I wanted to know today. Please note this. These are principles on which I have worked my entire life. These are principles I have used to direct my life. These are things that have ordered my step as to when it comes to the will of God. I always tell people this. I have never taken an action in any direction, no matter how little it is, without knowing what the will of God is. When I went to the moon to eat my honey, I got married to my wife in 1984. This year will be 40 years we have been in that prison called marriage. Now, when we got there, in the 4 years we courted, I never knew whether she was a woman or a man. Never saw beyond the veil. Never tried to know anything. I treated it the way Bible says we should treat it. I treated it the way God says we should treat it. He said, "Be ye holy, I'm holy." 1 Peter 1:15-16, "I am God." I treated it like that. So when we got to the moon to eat our honey, you know the Bible says in Proverbs 3:5, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding." In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. My wife and I knelt down. Said, now we want to begin. Lord, before we start, I don't know how to do it. I don't have any prowess. I have no power of my own. Now, we pray. Before everything, pray. During everything, pray. After everything, pray. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. 1 Timothy 2:18, 2:8, I wish that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all manner of prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching the anointing with all perseverance and supplication for us. We knelt down, and we acknowledge him in our ways. Don't want to have children, want to start manufacturing children. Children whom there is no guile. Male and female, you created them. We believe you for male children, believe for male children. Then listen to what I say. I say, God, I want you to give me a female child as a firstborn. That's my desire. Give me a female child as a firstborn. Somebody said, why do you want that? My motive, I wanted quickly to answer the question. Who giveth the bride of today into marriage? Say, I do. That was my motive. I just wanted to get this thing done, you know, because I love that part of it. Nobody has ever asked, who giveth the rascal of today into marriage? Nobody asked that question. Because the rascal went somewhere looking for what is not lost. That's why he found the lady. I prayed that prayer and I slept. My wife also slept. After we have done one or two or three or four. I'm just joking. I'm just joking about that. So very close to the early hours of the morning, God woke me up. He said, I would like to talk to you. I said, okay, sir. He said, well, you asked for your first child to be a girl, but your first child will not be a girl. Your first child will be a boy, and his name shall be called Faith. Faith will almost be 40 years old this year. He said, his name shall be called Faith. I said, thank you, sir. I didn't argue. I didn't contend. Well, you know God. You don't argue with God. Who has seen the man of God to be a counselor? 1 Corinthians 2:16. Who has seen the man of God to be a counselor? We have the mind of Christ. Even Jesus, who argued with God when the time came, he had to say, not my will. You see that? He came to establish the will of God on the earth. His will wanted to kick in, just like the flesh will also want our will to kick in. When it comes to doing with our money what God wants us to do, your flesh kicks in. When it comes doing the life what God wanted to do, your flesh kicks in. But Jesus had to subject, like your apostle was talking about the root of the spirit, what the spirit, what links up with your action, the flesh, the soul, and the spirit. I was listening in. You see that? I'm a good student, am I not? The Lord said to me, no, your first child will not be a girl. I said, okay, sir. He said, your first child will be a boy, and his name will be called Faith. I said, okay. So we get back to Faith. And then when the second time came, we got ready. After Faith had grown a level, we went to God again. I said, Lord, you know, I put myself first, but you have put yourself first. Because God now told me some things that Faith will have to do. And that is why he brought him out first. As God has said, you are going to have your daughter now, and her name shall be called Faithful. Because faithful is he who has called you, who also will do it. That's why my second child's name is Faithful. Because God is faithful. God is faithful, will not allow you to be tempted and won't able to bear. 1 Corinthians 10:13, with every temptation, he makes you escape. So, now the third time came. I looked at my son, a boy. The face of my son looked like my wife. I looked at my daughter. Her face looked like the faces of my senior brother's daughters. I said, God, I want one that will look like me. And so when my wife was pregnant, I told everybody it's going to be a boy. And his name will be called Faithfulness. That is why my children's name are Faith, Faithful, and Faithful. It is all in the will of God. You see, that is what it's about. I emphasize the place of the will of God to be done. So with reference to my children. I mean, I could send my children to all the universities in the world. But God said, let them school in learning. So my children went to the same school from beginning to university. University primary school, university secondary school, and University of Ilorin. Now, they know when I say Ilorin, they know what Ilorin is like. Recently, we were talking in the house in England. And I told my first son, I said, you remember Ilorin? He said, I don't know any other place except Ilorin. So when I'm talking about Ilorin, they can relate. And they know that it's my faithful commitment to do the will of God that has brought them the prosperity that they now have. The help of God, the assistance of God, the provision and the support of God. So it's important for us to understand this. The will of God is what He designed for you. Before I formed you, I knew you. Before I brought you out, I designed you. There's a blueprint. And all you need to do is enforce the blueprint. And not be out of place here on the earth. Now, there are six things you need to know about the will of God. I'm just going to mention them, say a few things about them. And I think you'll have gotten it. Then I'll round up in a few minutes with just a few more things. Number one, we need to know that there's something called the will of God concerning all areas of our lives. There's something called the will of God concerning every area of our life. There are seven areas of our lives. Number one, our spiritual life. Number two, our mental life. Number three, our emotional life. Number four, our physical life. Number five, our financial life. Number six, our career. Number seven, our relationships. Those are the seven areas of our lives. There is something called the will of God. Let me tell you a story here. There is a young man, when he was going to go to the university, he was going to apply for JAMB in those days. He prayed to God, what course should I apply for? And God told him this is the course to apply for. So he applied for the course. He was given JAMB admission. And in the JAMB class, he did so well. And so he decided to discontinue that course that God gave him. And decided to choose another course, which he felt was lucrative. As far as he was concerned, except the Lord build the city, the watchman waketh on the vain. Except the Lord watch over the city, those who keep awake, wake in vain. This boy changed the course. The first course he chose was what God told him to choose. Later on, he chose another course because he did well in the preliminary examinations. He chose another course without telling God. He started the course, he was at 200 level, 300 level, 400 level, 500 level. When he got to the final year, he failed. Compulsory courses only were the courses he failed. So he came and told me, he said, Daddy, I failed this compulsory course. We prayed. We anointed him with oil. We lay hands on him. Put mantles on him. There was nothing we did not do. He still failed. One day I was praying for him. And God said, you told me that so and so is doing this course. He said, I'm not aware. He said, I'm not aware. I said, But he told me, he prayed. He said, the course I told him to do, he changed it without notifying me. He took it in his own hands. Jeremiah 10:23. This I know, the will of man is not in himself. It is not a man that walketh to direct his own path. When you think you are wise and you now go along a particular line that is not the will of God, you lie down in sorrow. In everything, that is the will of God. For me to come and preach this service, when I was told I was going to preach, I went before the Lord. Of the over 12,000 messages I preached in the last 40 something years, which one? Show me the one you have chosen. Show me the one that is befitting. Show me the one that is best. Show me the one that will bless the conference members. And God chose, among others, He chose this. And that is why I'm preaching it. I have never gone to a place where God does not send me. Wherever God sends me to, he gives me a word to speak. He told Jeremiah, don't call yourself a child. You will go to the place I command you, and the word that I give you, will you speak? Our words must be choice words. He sent his words. Psalm 107 verse 20. And his word healed. The power of the message God sends through a person will be determined as to whether the word is given to him by God. Isaiah 30, 21, you hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way you walk in it. Before I came here, I was still, you know, before the Lord, and I was saying, Lord, if you want me to speak on something else, let me know. And God says, no, I've already chosen that word in righteousness. Go send that word. It is from me to them. And in the heart of everyone who is open, they will see a change as to whether when they implement the word in their lives or not. First thing, know that in everything, there is a will of God. There is a will of God, whether you want to undertake a journey or not. There have been instances I've canceled a trip. 2003, I was on my way to Switzerland. I left my house. I was on my way to the airport. I've had this disturbing feeling all week. But I was on my way to the airport. And when I was getting close to the airport, that is the airport in Ilorin, to take a flight to Lagos, God said to me, you're on your own. So I said to myself, if I'm on my own inside this car, while my feet is on the ground, it's good. 39,000 feet above sea level? To be on my own? I don't want to be. I don't want to be at that level and be on my own. I told the driver, turn back, we are going home. He said, what about the people waiting? I said, are you the one waiting? Are you the one they are waiting for? I can never forget that day, August 23rd. I went back to my house. I told my, when my wife sees me, I tell him, the Lord, she knows you argue. In those days when we started out, she will not know, say, is it the Lord that is telling you? Oh, how can God tell you that? You know, all those things you argue, but now, if I tell her Jesus is coming, say, where can we go to meet him? Because she knows that king in my heart and my desire is the will of God. Anything that will not be the will of God, I won't do it. Anybody association with which is not the will of God, I will stand clear of it. No matter what it is and who the persons are. I went back home. I slept. Will never forget. When I woke up in the morning, I could not move any part of my body. I don't know what had happened to me. My system collapsed. That is something that would have happened in the air or in Switzerland, and it would have made me a liability. Let me tell you this. For 8 months, I was bedridden. I preached a series of messages then. Because the whole week, I will try to get myself together. Then I will preach. The preaching is in one of my books titled, The Other Side of God. I saw the other side of not doing the will of God. Shortly before then, God told me, he said, slow down. Slow down. He said, if you don't slow down, I will slow you down. I thought he was joking. You know, the king's business requires haste. We are going to the nations. Let's go. Let's go. Anointing break the yoke. Let's go. I learned about John Wesley. John Wesley said, God gave me a message and gave me a horse. He said, I've killed the horse. I still have the message. He was not taking good care of himself. God will get the word out, irrespective of who. You don't have to die. Christ already died to make this gospel available. It is what you are supposed to live to preach this gospel. I shall not die, but live. Living for Christ is what he wants us to do, not die for him. I've been to Somalia. I've been to Sudan. The last time I was in Africa, because there was war. I would have died in that war. And God said, you're not going to die for me. You're going to live for me. Living for God is tough. Thou is, wow, you're gone. And you're gone. But living for God, daily. Daily, daily. And it's very demanding. So what I'm saying is this. There's something called the will of God in every area. That day I came back. I was sick for 8 months. I thought I was going to die. God said, you're not going to die. You're not going to see heaven like this. Close. You will now come back and finish the work. You're not dying yet. So every area of our lives, there's something called the will of God. Whether it's your career choice, the city to live in, the house to buy. Some people have just made up their mind on the kind of house they're going to buy. Is it God's will? Is it God's will? A job comes. One of my brother-in-laws, who happened to have married the last one of my mother, he got a job. He brought the job to me and said, this is the job I have. I prayed over it. I moved my spirit over it. I had pain in my spirit. So I told him, I said, don't take that job. He said, scripture, did you hear what you said? I said, no. He said, the salary is times 3. They gave me a house. They gave me a car. They gave me allowance to travel abroad. He said, I should not do it. Sir, you think everybody's going to suffer like you in the lorry? This boy took the job. 3 years down the line, everything was hunky-dory. It looked like everything was fine. He lost that job. For 15 years, a chartered accountant remained unemployed. Then one day he came to me and said, praise the Lord. I said, what happened? He said, I've received the call of God into the ministry. I said, for me, it wouldn't have taken 15 years. I would have received it. I said, turn around and do things. Every area of our life, there is the will of God. Number two, the second thing you need to know is that we need to seek the will of God. We should want to know what it is. You should want to know it. What is your will concerning this job offer? What is your will as pertaining this relationship? What is your will as pertaining where I should live? What is your will? Seek it. Psalm 24 verse 6. It says, these are the generations of them that seek thy face, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Psalm 27 verse 8 says, when thou shalt seek my face, my soul answered within me. Thy face, O Lord, will I seek. Go after it. Seek it. Ask, it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Shall I not? Should we not? He that fear the Lord is not God, teach you what way to choose. Number three, we also need to pray for it to be done on earth. He said, after this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. If you don't know the will of God yet, pray that the will of God will be done in your life. If you know it, keep nourishing with prayer. Oh, let your will be done. Jesus still prayed, and asked people to pray for God's will to be done. Prayer will break that selfish spirit that is wanting you to insist on your own ways. Pray the will of God be done. Pray the will of God be done in the churches. Pray the will of God be done in the body of Christ. Pray the will of God be done in your ministry. Let me tell you my story, a little bit of my story here. I received the call of God. I was in the Lord in 1981 to 1989. A member of our church came to a church in England known as Kensington Temple. You see, after I received the call, I knew what the call was. I said, Lord, let your will be done. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. Let your will be done in my ministry. Let your will be done in my home. Let your will be done in my finances. Let your will be done in my health. Let your will be done in my going and my coming. Let your will be done. So this young boy came to me and said, sir, I'm going on summer to England. And I want you to give me some of your messages so that I can take them with me. I will be listening to them when I'm summer vacation. I look at him. I said, you are going on summer. I'm not going on summer. I'm here. You are still trying to get my cassette for free. And it was 6 naira. I first of all said no. God said no, give him. So I gave this boy. Listen to me. You see, many times you don't know where God's finger is guiding and leading you. So I gave him. God says, my will for you to give him. So I gave him. I didn't want to give him. My heart was not with him. You want to kill me? You are going to London. I'm here. You want to go? I should give you my... So I give it to him. He went to London. He went to a church known as Kensington Temple. Kensington Chapel in those days was the biggest church in Europe. 10,000 members. When he got there, everything was like good. After the service, the first day, he was listening to the message, and the message blessed him so much. He listened to the church message, but when he came out, he got a copy of the cassette I gave him and was listening to it. The pastor of the church then, when Louis came out, I saw him listening. He said, are you not satisfied with the service? He said, sir, I want to listen to the message of my pastor. I told him, the man said, give me an earpiece. So the man took the other earpiece and put it in his ears. And the man listened for 5 minutes. So the man said, can I have the other earpiece? The man took the other earpiece and took the workman. How many of you know faithful workman? He took it to his office and the man was there for 45 minutes. So the man came back and said, sir, can I... The man who preached in this cassette, in this message, can he come and preach here in Kensington Temple next week? He said, no, the man does not even have a passport. The man is in Ilorin. You know Ilorin? The man said, he doesn't know Ilorin. You know Lagos. He said, he's in Ilorin. He said, I'm going to invite him to come and preach here in Kensington Temple. That was how I was invited, 2nd of September, 1989, to the largest church in Europe. I started at the very top. I got there that day, 10,000. The place was filled to capacity. I preached like a house on fire. Success comes when opportunity meets preparation. Means that I've been preparing. I had only one suit. I will wear it and I will look good. I said, look at this. I'm going to look when I go overseas. When I finished preaching that day, the man held me by the hand. He said, come. The man took me to his room, office. He said, my name is Wen Louis. I'm the president of Elim Group of Churches, the whole of Europe. I'm going to give you a letter. Any country you want to go to in Europe, that there are Elim churches, get this letter. Give it to the superintendent, they will open the door to you. I took that letter to 34 countries. The will of God can be enforced. Second thing is, seek it. And the third thing is, pray for it to be done. When after my ministry had been expressed to Europe, my ministry was not expressed to Africa. I mean, I had not gone to any other country in Africa then. And I was praying, Lord, let your will be done in Africa. I would take the African map, put my hand on it, let your will be done, let your will be done. Eventually, a man who is now dead and gone to his reward, Dr. Tokubo Adeyemo, he got hold, he was the secretary general of the World Evangelical Fellowship. World Evangelical Fellowship. And he was also the president of the African Evangelical Fellowship. He was secretary of World Evangelical Fellowship and secretary of the World Evangelical Fellowship. This man, somebody gave him a copy of the message. He listened to it. The man invited me to Kenya, 1994. There was a program called PACLA. PACLA. Pan-African Christian Leadership Assembly. People were gathered from 54 countries. The first day, I preached on the Word of God. The second day, I preached on the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The third day, I preached on the anointing. After those three messages, ambassadors of countries came to me after the service. They said, we'd like to have a meeting with you. Ambassador Ernest Chienge, the Zambian ambassador in Kenya, had an ambassadorial dinner for me. 51 ambassadors from various countries came for that dinner and was made to walk on a red carpet. Ambassador of Nigeria was one of the people that stood by. The one was introducing me. This is Ambassador of Nigeria. You probably know him. He said, yes, sir. Glad to meet you. Ambassador of Holland, Belgium, you know, and all of that. And I was introduced. Ambassadors came to invite me to their countries. It took me to 42 African countries. What I'm saying is this. The will of God is something that can be enforced. But you must consecrate yourself to live at that level. Because when you consecrate to live at the level of where the will of God is, you'll see terrible things in righteousness that will happen. So don't just pray, the will of God be done. Number four, the fourth thing as believers to do about the will of God, understand the will of God. Understand it. When God says, stay where you are, understand it. Joseph understood the will of God. He told his brothers, you meant it for evil, God meant it for good. He understood it. You see, for the will of God to be understood, you need to understand it backward. When you have kept it, that's when you look backward. That's what happened to Joseph. Understand the will of God. Ephesians 5:17 says, be not unwise, understand the will of God. Understanding is the wellspring of life to him that has it. Proverbs 9:6, forsake fools and leave. Go in the way of understanding. In malice be children, in men. Which one will you want? Is it the will of God or something else? You need to understand it. You see, when God is insisting on his will, you'll understand it. I will mention it in a few minutes, and then you understand it better. Number five, another thing we need to know that God will always make his will known to us if we desire and long after it. John 7:17, he that will know my will, he that will do my will know of my will. God will make his will known. He will make his will known. God does not hide these things from us. Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret thing belongs to the Lord our God. The thing that are revealed belong unto us and to our children. What the will of God is for you, he will make it clear. But your heart must be open to receive it. Hosea 6:3 said, then shall we know if we follow to know the Lord. You will never be able to know the will of God if you are afraid to do whatever it is. I asked God, do you want me to stay in the lorry? He said, yes. I was not afraid to do the will of God. It will not take the bright side out of my life. I have lost nothing. I have gained everything. What makes you lose is when you don't do the will of God. What makes you gain is when you do the will of God. Understand this tonight. That if you want to know the will of God, he will let you know. The will of God as to getting married. The will of God as to where you should stay. The will of God as to what you want you to do. Before I went into the ministry, I had so many other areas of things I could do. I was playing table tennis for Nigeria. First for Kwara State. I was so good at it. I competed at the first national sports tournament in 1973 in Lagos. 1975 in Lagos. And I represented Kwara. I was so good. I played football. I was so good. Academically, I was so good. So I had several talents. But which of them, oh God, was the reason why you formed me and you made me? And God said, I formed you for myself. Isaiah 43:21, these people have I formed for myself. They will show forth my praise. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are, and we are created. God did not form you for yourself. You are not your parents' idea. 1 Corinthians 3:6 says, Paul plant, Apollo water. God gave the increase. It is not he that watered, that is anything, or he that planted, but God, verse 7, that gave the increase. If you want to know the will of God, he'll make it known to you. He does not hold it back from anybody. As I close this message, understand something. Make a commitment, a consecration. Whatever is not the will of God, you leave it. You withdraw from it. Whatever is not the will of God will never prosper you. Will never make you who God intended for you to be. You can never be anything better than who God intended for you to be. If you want to be something by yourself, you become nothing. Those in the Bible wanted to be something by themselves became nothing. Without God's involvement in our lives, we are nobodies. He lifts the poor. Psalm 113, verse 7 and 8. He lifts the poor out of the dust, the needy from the dunghill, that he may set them with the prince, even the prince of his people. Verse 9, he maketh the barren woman to keep a house, to be a joyful mother of children. Whatever I have become, if you see anything good about me, it's because I'm in the center of the will of God. One step out of the will of God is a step into danger zone. Psalm 17, verse 4, concerning the works of man, by the words of thy lips, I have kept myself away from the paths of the destroyer. When you follow God's instruction and what the perfect will of God is, you are kept away from the paths of the destroyer. The sixth thing you need to remember is this: the will of God is something to do. It's not something to know. It's not something to hear. It's something to do. Thy will be what? Done. Where? On earth. Oh, it's difficult to do. There is grace. I always tell Pastor Emmanuel this. The only thing you cannot do is the thing that God does not want you to do. Whatever he wants you to do, there is grace. 2 Corinthians 8, God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you have sufficiency in all things. You'll be able to abound unto every good work. From in learning, I have gone to the ends of the earth. I've gone to Solomon Island, I've gone to Vanuatu, Nauru, Papua New Guinea. Extreme. When I went to Solomon Island, there was a plaque by the edge of the sea, and they said, this is the end of the world. So I looked at the people and said, what of you I don't stop here? They said, those who have gone beyond here did not tell us what happened because they didn't come back. That was where I decided I was not going to break limits. I decided to accept it like that. I've been to places where my life was threatened. Gang members put their knife to my bowel and said, we are going to devour you. We are going to open you up. Your guts will fall out. You're going to die. And I looked at them and I said in my heart, I didn't say to them, be careful. So my life is hid in Christ and Christ in God. I'm complete in him who is the head of all principalities and powers. As I close for 5 minutes only, I know your time is well spent, but I won't be here next week. I want to tell you why doing the will of God is important. I will just give it to you. Why is doing the will of God important? You see, because in this generation, many people are not bothered about the will of God anymore. Ministers just do anything, go anywhere, they are with anybody, preach anything that God never gave them instruction to preach. You see, I'm the Lord that called you. Open your mouth, I'll fill it. If he doesn't send me, he doesn't give me what to say. But when he sends me, he gives me what to say. What is the importance of doing the will of God? Quickly, I'll just run through it briefly. A good minister closes 5 times. I know. Apostle tried to close many times, but eventually he closed. Eventually he had to close. One time he said, I have only 20 minutes. I said, okay, let's see what happens. Let's see what happens. I told the people, they said, let's go in. I said, hey, don't walk in like that. Don't disturb the atmosphere. I'm a man of the spirit. Don't disturb the atmosphere. Just the ushers moving around could influence and affect the way things are. When the Spirit of the Lord is moving, we need to reverence God. That's God. Now, of what importance is doing the will of God, I will just rush to it. The first importance of God's will for us is that it explains what his plan is for us. The will of God is God's way of explaining what his plan is for us. That's what the will of God is. Do you know the will of God? Do you know the plan of God? Psalm 139, verse 17. How precious are your thoughts and plans towards me? The sum of them is very great. Jeremiah 29:11. I know the thoughts and plans that I have towards you. Thoughts of good and evil. Whatever is God's will is God's plan. Now, will you rather follow your plan or his plan? Will you rather follow your plan or your parents' plan? I have 3 lovely children. I have never struggled with them. as to what they want to do. Train up a child in the way that it should go. I taught them to know there's something called the will of God. And they know it. The will of God for marriage. The will of God for children to their father. I called them December last year. I said, listen to me. I'm not waiting for what you will give me because it's an abnormal situation for the children to lay off for the father. I said, the Bible tells me that. I said, I'm not waiting for what you are going to become. He said, a good man. And thank God I'm a good man. Abi Pastor. A good man liveth an inheritance for his children. Why am I still preaching? I don't have children in school fees to pay. I don't have rent to pay anywhere in the world. I don't have rent. I'm not owing any bank, anything. I've never bought any house or mortgage, nothing. The will of God explains what the plan of God is. When you know the will of God, you know his plans. And his plans are thoughts of good and not of evil. Number two, the second importance of the will of God is that it explains what he knows we need. Matthew 6:8, the Lord knows what things you have need of. Some of us think you know what you need. You don't. I would have felt I needed to be in America in 1982. Is it not the same America now? All over the world. Let me tell you something that you should never forget. God gave me a call into the ministry to take his word to the nations. And he pointed my wife to me and said, that is your wife. Now listen, I never knew that my wife was a British citizen. I never knew. If I was carrying green passport around, I would have been tormented. So when God showed me my wife, at a point in time, because she was very quiet and like a pussycat, you know, and there were other vibrant sisters, and the vibrant sisters, when you are praying, hey, come, bro, no, bo. My wife will sit down like a pussycat. I didn't know. We got married, we were married for about 5 years. So one day I was talking about being called to the nations of the earth because I had a globe of the world on my table and a map of the world on the wall of my room. And I will be praying over the map. I will be praying over the nations. The globe, I will rotate it. I will stop. I say, you there, where is that? Benin Republic. Ah. So we were discussing one day and my wife said, I was born in England. I said, you are born in England. Now, I didn't even know that. If I knew that, probably I would never have gone for her. Because my wife, in the early days of our relationship, she was a typical British. We'll be talking, you know. Me, I'm a prince from afar. We'll be talking. My wife will say, don't be silly. I say, hey! You are insulting me. He said, no, it's an advice. I said, where I come from, they don't advise us like that. He said, I didn't say you are silly. I said, don't be. I said, where I come from, don't be. It means I'm silly. So my wife told me that she's British, but she doesn't have any documentation at all to prove anything. I got her where she was born, the hospital, Miss Linton, the year she was born, the day she was born. When I came to England, I went to the hospital. There was a girl that was born here in 1962. They said, do you have the record of her father? I got the father's name. I got the birth certificate. I took it to Nigeria. Say, you found it? I said, yes. So I asked people, what should we do now? They said, you just have to submit it with some other documents. Ah, father is dead, mother is dead. Where would document come from? We started praying again. Lord, if it's the will of God, and we want it to be your will. That's how we were introduced to one or two people, nurses, who even knew the father and the mother. They got us all the documentation. 1995, my wife got her passport. The children got their passport. Leave it or let me. No documentation. I I say, I'm a good man, I'm a good man.
Well, to cut a long story short,
by the time we put in for my own filing, they gave me a British passport. Every country I go to 145 countries without visa. You know, when you enter with your great passport, say, well, at times, just wave it like this. In Europe, just wave it like this. You pass. When I come here to the USA, there is one glass like that. Eh? Boom, pass. You see, what I'm saying is that the will of God has something for you. It does not only tell you what God has planned, it also explains what you need. I needed a wife, but I did not manipulate my way to it. I got married in the Lord in the proper way. If I had known, I always tell people, probably I would never marry her because she doesn't like Amala till now. And me, I'm a swallow general. You can ask pastor. I'm always swallowing every day. Even this evening after the service, I'm going to swallow. You see, you need the will of God. God makes his will available because he knows you have need of it. Matthew 6:8, the Lord knows what things you have need of before you ask him. Number three, the third importance of God's will for us is that God's will for us is that which is right and appropriate. God's will for you is what fits you, fits your destiny. When God was designing you, he designed his will. If you are going to live a befitting life, the kind of life you should live, you are going to be the kind of person you should be. You are going to get to the place God wants to get to. The will of God must be done. Thy will be done on earth. If you are going to live on earth as it is in heaven, you are going to do the will of God. Because that's what we are talking about. As it is done in heaven, let it be done on earth. How will it be? That will be done. The will of God is that which tells us what is right, appropriate thing. To do otherwise is to do wrong. If you want to do right, do the will of God. Do the will of God with money. Use money the way God wills money to be used. The greatest use of money is to put somebody in heaven. Number four, I promise you, the fourth importance of God's will for us is that it represents that which will protect us and preserve us. The will of God protects and preserves. Only God will have known what had happened if I did not stay back in the lorry. It will have destroyed the grace I carry. Some of my friends had their graces destroyed. Some of them on their deathbed were telling me with regrets, with crying, I shouldn't have left the place of my planting. You can only bloom out of the place where you are planted. Some people leave church casually. You leave relationship casually. Divine connections established by God, you put it aside. Not every person can take you to the place where you are going. Not every church can make you have a hundredfold return on the harvest of your life. It's not every job that can give you its best. The will of God is that thing that God wants you to do to protect and to preserve you. To protect means to cover something from damage, from injury. When you are in the will of God, when we walk in the Lord, in the light of his word, where the glory he shines now away. When we do his good will, he abides with us still,
and with all who we trust and obey.
Trust
and obey.
For there is no
other way
to be happy in Jesus
but to trust.
a journey is not in the will of God, I don't undertake it. If a relationship is not in the will of God, I don't involve myself in it. If spending my money on a particular project will not bring me the kind of returns that God intends, I don't expend my money on such ventures. The will of God is your safest place to be. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadows of the Almighty. The angel of the Lord encamp around them that trusted him and deliver them. You are the apple of his eyes. You are the flesh of his flesh. But you see, all of those things are when you are in the will of God. I know being in London is the center of the will of God. 20th of June, 2002. Many of you have had this testimony before. Four hired assassins came to my house. Four of them. With AK-47 rifles. And showed me my picture. They said, "Is this you?" I said, "Yes." They said, "We have been given money to kill you." They said, "Follow us. Or else, we'll destroy everybody in this family." You know those protocol people in Nigeria, security, they would put them dark shade. Come and see them diving for cover. All those grag. When they saw gun, bindiga, in a tutu, they took to their heels. I asked them later when I came back. I said, "Why are you running?" He said, "We are just repositioning ourselves." You see. Safety is not the absence of danger. It's the presence of God. Can I hear you say the will of God? Can I hear you say the will of God? Can I hear you say the will of God? Bring the will of God from the back burner to the front. A man of God by the name of Paul was in a particular place in Acts chapter 21. And they said, "Don't go down." A prophet came and prophesied. "This is what they will do to the man that carried this thing." And they were begging him, "Don't go." You know what he said? He said, "I'm not just willing to go down there. I'm willing to die there." And the people said in Acts 21, verse 13 and 14, he said, we could not dissuade him. We see his saying, "The will of the Lord, let it be done." I've come to that point in my life. My life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself to you. Muslim fanatics have surrounded me like this, and they say, "Look up and down, we'll kill you today." But I'm here. I told them, "No man take my life. No man. I lay it down and I pick it." You see, life is not something somebody can snatch for you, because your life is in Christ and Christ in God. And you are dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. When you are doing the will of God, there is nothing about fear. See, "I, the Lord, will hold your right hand," saying, "Fear not." They said, "We have been paid. We are going to kill you." They put my hand in handcuff. They put my feet in feet cuffs. My wife was looking at me like this. She could only not say, "Arira. They took me away. They led me like a sheep to the slaughter. How much were they paid? 2002. 30,000 naira. The man said he has been in the business of killing people for 6 years. That before he went into the killing business, he went to his father and his father blessed him. There are fathers. Tap your neighbor and say, "There are fathers and there are fathers." They took me. As we are going on the highway, they have gone somewhere to dig a pit where they were going to throw me after they had killed me. But I shall not die. The Bible said, "Let me die the death of the righteous." Numbers 23 verse 10. "Let my end be like his." As we are going, they asked me, said, "What do you do for a living?" I said, "I'm a minister of religion." You see, by then, I'd come to a point where I released scriptures. The heart of kings are in the hand of the Lord. Turned the prisoner called religion. As you say yourself, you people, you're broken people. So many, you see, you need to have those scriptures. Not that you open to it. Where will you open? There's no Bible now. These are criminals. They came from Benin Republic, not from Nigeria. So they don't respect you. They are going to kill you. He said, what do you do? I said, I'm a minister of religion. He said, there's nothing like that in Nigeria, to the best of our knowledge. He said, what do you do? I said, I'm a man of God. He said, man, we know God, we know. Which one is man of God? Then I said, I'm a pastor. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:1, a soft tongue breaketh the bones. As an apple of gold in the picture of silver, so is the word that the fiddler spoken. When I say I'm a pastor, the man screamed, yay! As the leader. I said, why are you screaming? I said, why are you screaming? He said, my father goes to church, I don't go to church. He said, my father told me when I went, and he said I should put my hand under him and pray. My father told me, any day they tell you to kill a pastor, don't kill a pastor. Because the day you kill a pastor, you too have died. Because God will chase you until he kills you. He said, so any day they tell you to do it, don't do it. So the man said, I can't kill you again. The man told me the name of the people that sent him. And told me, we are not going to kill you. He said, you can think we are joking. They took me to the place where they had dog. Where they were going to throw me after they had killed me. Ladies and gentlemen, he that digeth the pit shall fall into it. He that breaketh down the hedges, the serpent will bite him. He took me there. He said, just for you to know. And you think this gun does not have bullet. Brr, brr, brr. Just for you to know what you escaped. He said, we can't kill you anymore. My father warned me that the only persons I should not kill are those who say they are pastors to me and I hear them say it. So we are going to return you back home. They drove me back to my house. My wife had gone to see the commissioner of police. Commissioner of police was our friend. You know, police is your friend. And the commissioner of police asked her, this is why when you marry, marry for the future, not for the present. Figure will disappear. Favor is deceitful, beauty is vain. The woman that fears the Lord, she is to be praised. The commissioner of police said, if those people that came to carry your husband are the way you are describing it, that's the way they came. He said, your husband will be dead by now. My wife looked at the principal and said, my husband cannot die the death of the wicked. My husband will not die as a criminal. My husband did not live by the gun, and so he cannot die by the gun. The man said, I've been a policeman for 28 years. My wife said, I've been a born-again Christian. Spiritual for 25 years. As my wife was getting back home, that was when I drove back. My wife said, I told the man that you will not die. She hugged me. I said, when you are married, don't marry paperless Christian. No. Somebody who cannot even pray in tongues. Say, pray, say, zege, 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 zo, 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 zezazu, zazu, zazu. What kind of tongue is that? Oh dear, let me. God delivered me. That's not the first time, not the second time, not the third time. Near death experience. But you see, I always know that I'm in the center of his will. One day we were driving to Lagos. When we woke up in the morning, God said to me, he said, begin to pray in tongues and don't stop praying until I tell you to do so. I said, okay, sir. I started praying 9 o'clock. We started traveling 11 o'clock to Lagos. 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock. Lagos was ahead like this, like ahead. So I started saying to God, you say I should pray, and we are almost in Lagos. So keep quiet. He said, okay. In the moment of when I was speaking to the Lord, the driver lost his concentration. He hit a very major pothole. I was sitting near the driver in front. The wheel, the tire, everything came off and was running ahead of us like this. And the driver slammed the brake. Wah! Instead of a car somersaulting, the car screeched to a halt. And God said, I told you. Don't stop praying until I tell you to do so. Thy will be done on earth. It protects you. Your money has actually finished. But let me give you one. The most protective thing is the will of God. So when you are enforcing it, you are doing yourself a lot of good. You are doing yourself a lot of good. You are doing yourself a lot of good. Number five, the fifth importance of God's will is that it represents that which will attract to us and guarantee God's choicest blessing. That will attract to us and guarantee God's choicest blessing. You are following goodness and mercy. Goodness and mercy is supposed to follow you. Deuteronomy 28 verse 1, what we call the blessing of Abraham. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, to keep his statutes and obey his commandments. See, these blessings will do what? Run after you. And do what? Overtake you. If you want to be blessed, the will of God is the way to be blessed. It does not take the fun out of life. It attracts the choicest blessings to you. I can tell you all kind of things. But I will say one more thing tonight. And Apostle, sir, when I finish, I will give you the microphone, sir. And I want you to pray for people. I do that when my sons are around. I preach, I give them the microphone. And whatever they feel like doing, let them do. There are some of us who are out of the will of God right now here. And you need to turn around. That's what repentance is. Repentance means change your mind and change your direction. The word repent in Greek is not the same thing as the word repent in Hebrew. In Hebrew, it means change of mind. In Greek, it means change of direction. You can change your mind and not change your direction. Until you change your direction, the change of your mind does not change anything for you. The choicest blessing is attracted when you do the will of God. There are some people here, you know it like you know your name now. It's like washing your feet with your socks on. You are not in the will of God where you are. Many things you are struggling to do, you don't need that kind of a struggle. You just need to enter into it. That is the reason why God brought you here. That is the reason why God exposed you to the ministries he has exposed you to. The time of ignorance God has winked at. He has commanded everyone that everybody should repent. The blessing of God maketh rich. But at times, God's blessing is based on good conduct. Psalm 119 verse 1. Blessed is the undefiled in the way, walking in the law of his God. He that fear the Lord, Psalm 128 verse 1. He that fear the Lord, him shall God teach in what way to choose. Psalm 103 verse 7. God made his way known unto Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. Traveling the wrong direction will not make you get there. It's just going to make you have a life of struggle. Some of you are struggling about what is supposed to be easy. I preached a message years ago as a young Christian. Excuse me, Lord. I beg to disagree. Why did I preach that message? I read Matthew 11:31. He said, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Some people tell you being a Christian is difficult. There's nothing as easy as a Christian. If you are in the will of God, your steps are in oil. Your steps are ordered. The angel of God encamp around you and who trust in him and deliver you. Even you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, fear no evil, for he is with you. In the will of God, there is protection. In the will of God, there is the best thing that life has to offer. Tonight, what you need to do is think. Psalm 119 verse 59, I thought of my ways. And I turn my feet to your testimonies. Tonight is the beginning of the best days of your life. If you insist that the will of God be done, some of you are into something that is not right and proper. And you don't need to stay there 1 minute more. after tonight. Awake, thou that sleepest, arise from the dead. Christ shall give you light. Awake, Zion, put on thy strength, put on thy garment, O Jerusalem. The time has come for you to hit the way back. You have traveled the long road for too long, and your story is about to change. Your life is about to be beautified. You're about to get a lifting. God has brought you here face to face with promotion. There is a prayer point I'm going to raise. Apostle is good in this area more than me, so I'm not going to bother myself. If he's here, okay. Let him fire prayer. You are going to pray that anything that is not the will of God, tonight let them lose their grip over you. Anything that is not the perfect will of God, anything that will not augment, add to, raise you, promote you, let them disappear. That tonight you have made a decision, and the apostle will use the apostolic prophetic mantle to push these things for you. Push it through. And I want you to pray from the bottom of your heart. Whatever does not belong to God in my life, from today, let that boyfriend drop me. If I don't drop him, let him drop me. Let that guy friend sack me. If I don't sack her, let her sack me. Tomorrow, let me receive a sack letter. Anyway, I'm out of the will of God. I want to be restored to the pastor dwelling. Are we ready tonight? Stand on your feet. Apostle, please come up right now. 1 minute. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Come on, celebrate Jesus. I know it's going to be for a few minutes. It's going to be for a few minutes. But I want you to engage this opportunity. Anything that does not belong. You know, this is why prayer at times is difficult. You lay hands on people, nothing will happen. You cast devils out. The devil will go through dry places, come back with seven, multiply. The next time you see them, they are full of demons again. But tonight, lift up your hands and say, Holy Spirit, come and reign in me. Come and have your way in me. I will never be the same again. God bless you. Thank you so much, sir.